Hello, my name is Cindy. I'm in Victoria Inc., Australia Incorporated. I haven't done a video on this channel, which got a couple of bans in a row for over a month now. I did make a backup account. Some people found it and others didn't. I'm hoping that you'll connect with me on that channel as well, or profile or whatever account, for, you know, when this one gets closed down again. What did I forget? The date. Today is the second, Wednesday, the 2nd of March, and it is 20 past 10 in the evening. I'm going to try to keep it really short this time. Who am I addressing? I'm addressing everybody who talks about community, everybody who thinks it's one of those nice words and gets a warm fuzzy feeling inside them when they hear it, and the people who use it as an argument. I used to teach children and teenagers and adults to use it in their essay writing as an argument. You know, when you're trying to put forth a persuasive point of view, you know, say it's good for the community because you'll always get lots of points for that. Because, mind you, these students were sitting exams to prove their proficiency in English, or they were sitting the first certificate or whatever. And that whole system, the Cambridge system, is all interlinked with UNESCO, which is United Nations. That's what the UN of UNESCO stands for. So, you know, these were those, you know, hints that were, you know, these, like how to hack the test, say this, say it's for the community, it's good for the community. But let me read the piece to you. I'm reading, so if you've already read my post, you might not even want to watch this video, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the post for the people that don't like reading. And so I'll commence. We've been bludgeoned to death via schooling and other social engineering mechanisms to stop thinking at the utterance community. For the good of the community, a benefit to the community, a boon to the community, to foster community, a threat to the community, for the community's safety, and more recently, community standards. Strong community spirit, resilient community, sustainable community, inclusive community, diverse community, equitable community. Are you angry yet? The question begged is, what is the community? Sometimes it's explicit, the business community, which we in turn decipher as business owners defined within proximal geographical parameters of our own imagining. For instance, the local high street or mall may be lined with mega commercial retailers whose profits are shipped offshore. Thus, community loses its warm local flavor, but only if you think it through. Farming community is another prime example. What makes them a community? Do they coordinate with each other? Do lemon growers have dinner with cattle graziers? Why use the term community at all? It adds nothing to meaning. Just call them farmers, or does it make a difference? It's a social engineering construct, propaganda, neuro-linguistic programming designed to make people feel a sense of obligation to a group to which they are ostensibly a member. I'm going to repeat that bit. That's a really important, like, it's the crux of the argument I'm making. It's a social and community is a social engineering construct, otherwise known as propaganda, otherwise known as neuro-linguistic programming, designed to make people feel a sense of obligation to a group to which they are ostensibly a member. Are you a valued member of the community? Do you have evidence of reciprocity on a personal level? Reflect on your local municipality. Consider rubbish collection, parking, getting approval to add a bathroom to your house. The local council goes out of its way to make you comfortable and to bring you prosperity, right? Or perhaps we can talk about the schooling community, making life a breeze. How about the policing of your community that devotes 99% of its manpower to either collecting revenue or intimidating the hell out of the people for pre-crime? You know, you're going to get fined. We're going to catch you. You know, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't park here. Don't speed. Don't drink. You can't even drink a beer in a park in Victoria. Sorry, I'm interjecting in my own writing. Hang on. Let's talk about the health community. Oh, there's a favorite of mine. They bombard you with generic messages to direct you to screening for whatever is in vogue for your age bracket, give you notice for another injection, or tell you how negligent you are because you haven't made an appointment to look at your teeth for $300. Perhaps we can talk about the holistic health community, making bank for dealing with the fallout from the allopathic circuit. 100 different modalities and methods to choose from and experiment with until you run out of funds or find something that works after being a guinea pig, with fewer side effects, of course. Why on earth does the word community hold any sway with us at all, when our only exchanges with strangers are commercial trade? Community is a warm and fuzzy, meaningless word unless you start thinking communal. Communal space? Better off calling it a public space, unless you're describing a private property in which everyone who pays gets to use it. Do yourself a favor and scroll up to the bulleted examples marked with the square, and that's that list I read out of, you know, resilient community, the boon to the community, equitable community. Has your life been improved on any of those points, or are you always expected to oblige, give, compromise, and sacrifice? Because that's what they're asking for, right? When they say do it for the community, they're asking you to compromise something, or to oblige, or to give, or, you know, to volunteer, or to sacrifice something. When did you get something? Like, aren't you a member of any community? Can you cite an example? Which group or community did that for you without financial incentive? Where's this diatribe heading? I would kindly like to ask each individual dissenter, every resistor who reads this or who hears this, to stop using a term we've been brainwashed to think means something it doesn't. The word you're looking for is a verb and a noun, which makes it versatile. What the solutionists are describing we ought to do is network, or create a network, so we can trade our wares, produce, and skills. Most of us have never, ever been interested in sharing a bathroom or kitchen with strangers. That it may come to that for strictly survival purposes is not in dispute. However, do not expect that there won't be a proprietor to whom you must answer. In plain English, communal settings don't mean freedom. There are other people's rules to follow, ones that will be said to cater to the community of random people residing there. But the truth is this: he who owns sets his rules. Community is a word form of common and commune. from which communism is derived. Together, shared, not owned, are all synonyms. The new and improved version of slavery is called communitarianism, derived from community. The synonym is others. You might ask, which others? The answer is other people, you know, that group, but not you. Communitarianism is about owning nothing, sharing everything, abandoning individual rights and claims, and handing them to others. We are a network of individuals. We ought to network if we wish to exchange or trade. We are not obligated. We are not looking for new masters. And I have linked to this post quite a few of my own pieces and also some podcasts and other people's work regarding communitarianism, because it's really important that people get this word communitarianism into their vocabulary whilst they extract community from their vocabulary. Because, you know, community, there's only so much we can take of this horseshit. And it's really important to understand what is happening when we use it and when it's being used against us. So I shall limit, I really do want to talk about other things. Why is it, maybe I need to frame it just a little bit more. So everybody knows Klaus Schwab, right? So he's like the managing director, the founder of the World Economic Forum. He's got that thick German accent. And his penultimate book was called The Great Reset. We all know we're going through the Great Reset, right? Build back better. One world order, centralized government / corporations, because they're in bed together this time. And that's why we can't call it communism or fascism, because it's both together, melded. We're going to call it communitarianism because that's what it is. So his second last book was called The Great Reset, but his newest book is called The Great Narrative. And they even had a conference over in the United Arab Emirates, I believe, just a few months ago. The Great Narrative, the great story. They've got to tell you a story. Why are they telling you a story? Because that's how humans make sense of the world. That's why you love Netflix. That's why we love movies. That's like why we play computer games. That's why we read bedtime stories to children. A coherent story makes the world coherent. You know, there's a reason why something happened, or there's a reason why that there was, you know, this consequence happened. That's what all those fables are about. They're about teaching children to understand, large concepts through a story. One of the best stories in our, for our time is The Emperor's New Clothes. That's a story. That's a narrative. It gives you an understanding of so many things, right? And in fact, it's a story about a story. If you think about it, it's a story within a story. You know, tell people this story so that you can have this reaction, so that you can bring about a consequence. So that's why understanding communitarianism is so important, because it underpins not just, this philosophy of how we're going to go about it, and words like communitarianism or community. It's a framework to understand the politics and the laws. So a lot of people are talking about constitutional law and common law and this law and that law, and it's like, and a whole lot of people like me are going, but what happened? You went to court, or you can't get a hearing, or it's been thrown out, or this, you know, like, it doesn't make sense unless you have a framework that does make sense. And that framework of communitarian law, which is superseding all of our constitutional laws at the moment, is that we are putting the community, that arbitrary nothing word, which is just others but no one ever, okay? We're putting the community above the individual. And this is why this is the reason for getting a vaccine or wearing a mask. Like, you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for the others, you're doing it for the community. We are placing the community above your health, whether you like it or not. But who is that community? Did you ever see a community of individuals going, yeah, you're going to wear that mask for me, you're going to take that vaccine for me? No, it was a story on television. So it is really important to understand these obscure concepts, what seems like an obscure concept. It's not that obscure, it's been made obscure. Just like my page gets dumped and bloody censored and shadow banned, and so does yours. Yet other people's don't, and these really major platforms, for some reason, they don't get censored. But anyway, there's a reason. They control these gadgets, they control the information flow. They do not want you understanding the framework so that you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together by yourself. So that when you've got framework, when you have foundations, it doesn't matter what they throw at you, whether it's, oh, a war in Russia now and the Ukraine, or it's Omicron, or it's whatever it is, you know how you've got a blueprint. You can, like, you know, like, the steps that are going to be taken. You know the plans. You can backchain it. You can reverse engineer pretty much anything if you understand the grand plan. So I know how fucking obscure this word is, but community isn't obscure. It's in every second sentence you fucking hear, whether you're watching the television, or you're reading The Great Reset or The Great Narrative, or you're reading something that came home from your children's school, or something from the university, or something from the hospital, or something at your workplace, your corporate workplace, you're talking about all this inclusivity horseshit. What does it mean? Get the framework. Start understanding what these words mean. What, you know, the grand plan is. Don't be looking at the tree when they say, look at the tree, because at the moment they're saying, look at the tree, look at the tree. Ukraine, Russia. It's exactly the same situation that we had with COVID. COVID cases. Oh my God, cases, hospitalizations. People are dying. It's exactly the same thing. Now, I know for a fact, hospitals in Melbourne were dead as doornails in March of 2020. How do I know? Because I fucking went there. I went there to see for myself, and I was able to see for myself. Three hospitals all within walking distance of where I used to live. Now, Ukraine, I can't get there. I cannot get to the border there. But I've been watching the mainstream lies for so long that I know this. When they are saying, look here, look here, look here, look here, there's a reason, so that you don't look over there. I've never been into undermining people's deaths or wars or anything of the sort. But I place my life way above anyone else's. So everyone in the West, pull your socks up. Work it out. They keep lying to you. The more hysterical they get about something, the more hysterical they want you to get about it. And subsequently, the more hysterical my videos become. Apparently, RT, the channel, you know, Russia Today, got taken off YouTube. So I went to Google before I started this live. I went to Google and put RT and it comes up. So Google, they haven't censored RT because they took RT off YouTube. They just gave RT the biggest boost ever. They did exactly the same thing they did with Joe Rogan and that baloney Malone guy. They said, oh my God, they deplatformed Joe Rogan because of Malone. And everyone went, oh my God, I've got to watch this episode. People that had never heard of fucking Joe Rogan or Malone, all of a sudden they're talking about the censored stuff that's everywhere that you can just like, you know, go to Google and it's the first hit you get. They haven't censored RT if it's the first thing that comes up in Google when you put RT in. Putin is a World Economic Forum member. He signed it all. He's up there. He's on board with the 17 sustainable goals. Don't tell me he doesn't know the truth about all these things, or that he has separated his priorities and gone, yeah, I'm going to cop a bunch of sanctions and I'm going to be the like bad over here, but I'm fully on board with the Western world's other stuff, right? And don't tell me about Gazprom either. His gas pipeline. I had a look today. All the gas they were forwarding over to Europe is being channeled to China. He hasn't lost a dime. Okay? But what has happened? You will own nothing. You will be cold and you will be hungry in Europe because the absolute zero document and the 17 sustainable goals say you're like a waste of fucking oxygen on this planet. Literally, that's what they're saying to you, inverted. They're saying, oh, too much carbon, too much carbon. What they're really saying is you're a fucking waste of oxygen. We don't want you eating anything that's good for you. We want you to eat the fucking bugs. And we don't want you going on holidays. We don't want you driving. We don't want you keeping warm with all your gas. No, we're going to have equity. Equity means we're all the same. And do you know where, you know, the defining point, like where the scale of all the same came from? The fucking third world. That's what they decided. They went, you know what? We're not going to raise everybody's living standards, though we can. Though we can. No. We're gonna squash the bugs, or we'll make them eat the bugs. So, tensions in the Ukraine and Russia and whatever, I'm sure there's a very long history. You know, if it was a war between, you know, Turkey and Greece, we'd have like 1 million Greeks, you know, experts that have been watching the tensions between Turkey and Greece, you know, since their 400-year occupation, the Ottoman occupation. They've kept the fire, this, you know, black and white thing, this men versus women, this racing, they've kept it burning alive all these years so they can pull it off the shelf and use it every time they need to. And it's, you know, it's emotional for us Greeks, and I'm sure it's just emotional for Turks. And I'm sure this is exactly the same thing happening over in the Ukraine and Russia. Yes, people really have died. Yes, there are real tensions. People are being played. They're always being played. How come we didn't have a nice big war on TV during COVID? Why? They're about to take your food off the plate. You're not going to have a car to drive in. Cyber wars, they're talking about cyber attacks. Why? Why are they talking about cyber attacks? What the fuck's it got to do with us? We've had so many wars, and you know what? Throughout all these wars, my life never changed. Never changed. If I didn't have a TV, I wouldn't have known there was a war. Most people learned about wars in the Truth of Community. The people that woke up in March of 2020, they actually found out about the wars they'd never heard of. Because they didn't bother putting them on the TV. Because they had no impact on your life. The only people that kind of looked at that stuff were, you know, financiers and stuff, financial advisors. No one else gave a shit. They could do their normal shopping. They could do their normal activities. They could, everything was normal. There was no reason to take any interest whatsoever. The reason it's on TV now is because they're going to use it to scapegoat all the shit they're going to bring in. And all that shit they've written in those books. All of it. Look at the United Nations 17 Sustainable Goals and you will see somehow this Ukraine-Russia episode is going to excuse everything on that. Sorry about that small pause. Thank you, Meta and Facebook, for the small pause. After the cyber attacks, it is very likely they will precipitate the financial collapse. No, I'm not 100% sure, you know, it's going to be chicken, egg, chicken. But to get online, what they're going to do is say, you need to sign on the dotted line now. You need to give us your biometric ID because all these terrorists brought down the internet and people went hungry and people died because of, you know, terrorists on the internet and hackers. And we're talking about something that they simulated not long ago called Cyber Polygon. So Cyber Polygon happened in I think July of 2021, if I'm not mistaken, and they simulated cyber attacks. Now, mind you, they had simulated COVID with the Johns Hopkins University called Event 201 in October or I think November of 2019. So they do a simulation, right? It's a dress rehearsal and then they go ahead and they roll it out for you. The cyber attacks are to get your biometric digital identity. Essentially, what they're going to be asking for, and there's a very good video that Colette Strong linked to my page. So it's, you know, Colette is with Cindy, and there's this short little video. Go watch that. It's about the World Economic Forum and digital IDs and exactly how much control and information they want from those digital IDs. In other words, without the digital ID, you won't have access to the internet. So if you're not on board with the Great Reset, okay, if you're not interested in having a social credit rating applied to you, don't be talking about crypto. Like, seriously, like, you need to access the internet to use the crypto. You won't be able to access the internet without your digital passport. That's what those cyber attacks are for. They're going to say, you little people, you're terrorists. You brought down the banks. You brought them down, they're going to say. That's the horseshit. So much of it. There's so much of it. That war is going to explain the energy crisis. It's going to explain the people starving in Europe. It's going to excuse them freezing to death. And it looks like it's going to be a cold winter. Lots of cold winters. Who said it? Was it Biden? Dark winter, cold winter, some bullshit. Haven't they been preparing us for El Nino for years? And, you know, we've stopped calling it, you know, global warming. We're calling it climate change so that we can excuse the flooding. The engineered flooding. The engineered bushfires. The engineered earthquakes. Because this is Gaia, right? Paying us back. Because, you know, we drove 2 kilometers more than we should have. Just like COVID, Omicron, Delta, they were counting up the deaths, or they weren't even counting the deaths, they were counting up the cases in the hospitals. They're going to be counting the deaths due to climate change. What that means in translation is they're flooding places, they're setting bushfires onto people, they're killing them, and then they're saying, oh, it's climate change. And therefore, when we lock you down permanently, when you start working from home and learning from home permanently, when you start watching concerts online permanently, when you don't attend Rod Laver Arena to watch the tennis, but you watch the virtual reality version of it. There really was a virtual reality fucking tennis open for Melbourne this year. You know, don't ask why. It's for climate change, because all those people died, right? You have to do it for the community. You have to do it for your fellow man. You're doing it for them. All right, I was intending to do a nice read of my, but you know, there's something about this phone. I reckon they send me signals or something and I just get so angry. Okay, good to be back. Please come to my...